They didn't see him coming. At least, not in time. In the months before the Iowa caucuses, the Mitt Romney campaign, like most of the Republican political establishment, as well as the press corps and most of America, had been ignoring Rick Santorum. Usually running well down in the polls, behind Romney, Newt Gingrich, Rick Perry, and the libertarian Ron Paul, Santorum had doggedly driven around Iowa for months in a pickup truck, dressed in a sweater vest, visiting all 99 counties. He was preaching a gospel of social conservatism and small government populism, attacking Obamacare as a socialist plot to take over the lives of ordinary, small-town Americans. Only 5 days before the Iowa caucuses, on Thursday, December 29th, did the Romney campaign begin to focus on Santorum. "Okay, let's take a look at the Santorum book," said one of the top campaign officials, meaning the book of opposition research on the former Pennsylvania senator. One of the aides answered, "There's no Santorum book." Stunned, the top official who had, in a matter-of-fact fashion, asked for the Santorum book, stared at the aide a moment and then said, Are you kidding me?" recalled a Romney advisor. But it was too late. The most popular role in campaign 2012 has been a negative one, the un-Romney. Virtually every Republican hopeful had his or her moments. Handsome and down home, Rick Perry had once seemed a natural champion for the Tea Party pitchfork populism that prevailed in American politics on the eve of the primaries. But some knew better. In September, a close ally of Perry's had remarked to a friend that if Perry were smart, and if they had a couple of months to prepare, then they'd have a shot. The man added, "But he ain't, and we don't." A bad back doomed any chance Perry stood to break through. It became an open secret that he was using painkillers in sufficient dosages to keep him standing through the two-hour debates. The manager of a rival campaign was at a urinal in an empty bathroom in Hanover, New Hampshire, before the Bloomberg News debate on October 11th, when he heard someone come through the door loudly singing, "I've been working on the railroad." Wondering who was making all the noise, the campaign manager turned his head and saw, to his surprise, the governor of Texas. Perry came down the row of about 20 urinals and stood companionably close by. Nonplussed, the campaign manager made a hasty exit. As the bathroom door closed, he could hear Perry still merrily singing away, "I've been working on the railroad all the livelong day." Asked about the episode, a top campaign official said, "He whistles. I wouldn't read anything into it." Perry was going nowhere, but he still had the capacity to hurt Mitt Romney. And in fact, the story of campaign 2012 thus far is Romney's perpetual vulnerability as a frontrunner. A vulnerability so profound that even a novice national figure like Rick Perry could spook him. On December 10th, at a debate in Des Moines, Perry threw a stray punch. Repeating a charge from earlier debates, the Texas governor accused the former Massachusetts governor of promoting a key element of President Obama's health care plan. Romney cut in, "You know what? You've raised that before, Rick, and you're simply wrong." Perry insisted, "It was true then." Voices rising, each man talked across the other. Visibly peeved, Romney stuck his hand out and challenged Perry. $10,000? $10,000 bet? Perry, looking genuinely surprised, responded, "I'm not in the betting business." The moment passed, but the image of Romney as a clueless rich man would linger. Romney had tried to be a regular guy. He just wasn't very good at it. He could not seal the deal. Stuck at around 20 or 25% in polls of likely Republican voters in the primaries, Romney kept running behind candidates who had less experience and credibility. Tim Pawlenty, Michelle Bachmann, and Rick Perry all made runs before fizzling, either because they lacked the fire, Pawlenty, or because they were somehow flawed or implausible. The most unlikely challenger, in retrospect, was Herman Cain. The Herminator was a crowd pleaser, but he was also a walking time bomb of scandal. Over breakfast with us in late February, a high-level Washington lobbyist just shook his head over Cain's giddy run in October and November. Hundreds of people, he said, had known about the sexual harassment allegations against Cain at the National Restaurant Association. How had the press been so slow to catch on? Was it because they were lazy? Or maybe just enjoying the Herman Cain show too much to check him out?